Dear Heavenly Father, we approach the throne of Your Word. And Father, it is our life. It is our feeding by which we live by. And so, Father, direct my words, make them clear for them to understand. And Father, may they hear with grace and mercy, not with condemnation and guilt. Father, so that the things that we share to Your wonderful people will have a value to them other than just being corrected. And so, dear Heavenly Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to empower me and help me today to bring it forth in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about the love of God. And most people believe that the word agape, love, is a love that God introduced. And that is not true. The word agape was here before Jesus came, but Jesus gave it meaning, the right meaning. That's why a lot of brothers and sisters in the Lord told me, they said that they found in Scripture where sinners agape, and they said, how can that be? I thought agape was the God kind of love. Well, that is true. But the meaning of agape was understood mostly by the position of a noun. A person, place, or thing. But Jesus came and He put the understanding of the word agape to action. And it became a verb. And that's where it staggered the imagination of many. And here in Matthew 22, verse 36, we brought up last Sunday, and I lied to you. I told you we can do this in two more services. I lied. When you talk about the love of God, it just grows. So I'm going to do my best that it don't grow too long. But it gets the meaning across for you. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. But then Jesus added something to it. The second is like it. It means the same. That you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. Now we're going to stop there because I don't want to go into why he went into that area. But I want to bring a point up to you about what he's saying here. There are two great commandments. But when you go into the Old Testament, again, I want to remind you, you don't find two distinct commandments there. You actually find 10 commandments. And they're broken up, forming the two. The first four commandments is how to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind or your understanding. But one thing that they forgot to capitalize on is the second commandment, which Jesus' life gave testimony to that they didn't understand. And that is that you have to love your neighbor the same way that you love God. Boy, what a challenge. Some people don't understand what really led up to this statement. But what really led up to the statement was when they asked him, if a man takes on the woman and he dies and goes to another one and dies and goes to another one and dies and goes to another one in the resurrection, which one is she going to be married to? And Jesus turned and said, neither, for they are as the angels. Meaning that marriage really exists on this side. It's the completeness of our soul. When God brought Eve to Adam, he completed his soul for this realm. A woman is given for being a helpmate. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful, men? You got a woman in your life, she's going to be your helpmate. Amen? How come some of you are kind of... Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So our spirits have been freed from our body that carries the death nature in it, because we inherit the nature of God in our inward being, our inward man. We don't inherit the nature of God in our outward body, but our inward spirit, our inner man, what we call our inner man. That's where the nature and life of God is found. Now, what he's saying here is very clearly that when we're born of God, we have his nature, which is the core nature of our Heavenly Father. And in understanding the core nature of your Heavenly Father, you have to know this, that God is love. God does not have love. God is love. Amen? And so that's important for you to understand. But we don't have an excuse why we don't have the love of God in us, because the Bible says it has been poured out in our inner man, the spirit of us. That nature is there. But the real kicker is letting it come out. Somebody can say, I love you, but that's not what comes out of them. It's when they say that they love you and they have something that comes out of you that counts. Right, ladies? How many of you men ever heard your wife say, well, if you love me, then why don't you do what you say? I don't do it as well as women do, but you got the point. The Bible says that love never fails, never ceases, or comes to an end. So we know that love crosses over between this life and the next. If we allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate that love in us, then failure will become a thing of the past with our Heavenly Father and our neighbor. Now, if you will, real quick-like, take note of where it says how we love the Lord. How we love the Lord. It says here that you shall love the Lord your God. And I want you to all say this with me. With all your heart. With all your soul. And with all your mind. That's how we love the Lord. With all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Now, I'm going to be teaching you out of the New King James today, and I know that for some of you that are diehard King James fans, you're okay. You just have another translation. It's alright to use it, but our words might be a little different, but they all come to the same meaning. And so here he says in the New King James, he said it's going to require all of your heart, it's going to require all of your soul, and it's going to require all of your mind. You know, that's the point we miss. What's going to require of us to love God? That's what's going to require of us to love God. Now the second one is likened to it. Meaning, and your neighbor, the same as the first commandment, your neighbor as yourself. The same requirement that was required of you to love God is the same requirement of you to love your neighbor. Now remember I brought out last Sunday, it's easy for us to love God because we can't see Him. All we can do is see Him through Scripture, and therefore we don't literally have a physical relationship with Him, but we have what we call a spiritual relationship with Him. And so as a result of that, it's easy for us to love God simply because we're not really seeing Him, but we can see Him while we're here. And we can't have a physical relationship with Him, but our physical being can have a connection with the God that we don't see. And you know what that physical connection is? Your neighbor. You know, it's very interesting how we'll bring somebody to judgment, but we quickly seem to forget the same one we're bringing to judgment is the same one whom Christ died for. Saint or sinner. Ouch. You're going to love me today. If you have a pencil and paper, I want you to write down what your heart and your soul and your mind has reference to. I'm going to give you it real simple. First of all, the word heart, I want you to put right next to it influence. Your heart is where you're influenced. So that's just one word, the influence. The heart is the influence. Second one, all your soul. Isn't that funny, that word all? It's almost like saying you could have many souls going, just like many hearts going. What he's referring to is the totality of it. And so he's saying soul, and I want you to write next to it, animation. The expression of something. Yeah, I wouldn't know your soul except it would animate itself before me. It's talking about the expression that you find in the natural realm. It's the word psuche, soul. The mind of the senses. And here's another one that's very interesting. The word mind. Now, some of you might have a different translation. But really, it is the word understanding. Now, we're going to get into these three, but we can't go there right yet. But the word for mind here is the word, are you ready? The occupancy of thought. The occupancy of thought. How thought is occupying your mind. What kind of thought is occupying your mind? You guys got it? Now those are the three areas that you're to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Those are the three areas. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. With what influences your heart? With what gives expression through the person that you are? And what your thinking is occupied with? Those three areas. They have to be given to God in order for you to love Him. That requires everything of you. What else would it require? It requires everything of you. Well, guess what? That same process is what's required of you for your neighbor. Isn't it funny how we can love a person to a point? The problem is, what is the point? Are you guys following me? What is the point? Right. We're always looking for the point where it can end. Yeah, it's like Peter. Oh, so we're to forgive. We're to love seven times, huh, Lord? Jesus looked at him and said, no, you don't forgive them seven times. He says, you got to forgive them seven times 70. That's 490 years. You know what he was saying? You got to go the length with people that you did, that God did with people. You see, they couldn't go in and take and possess the land of Canaan until the iniquity of the inhabitants was complete. And once their iniquity was complete, God said, nah, I'm going to go in and I'm permitting you at this point to take it. Amen. Now, if we are not loving our neighbor, we also are not fulfilling the first commandment and how to love God. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. If this is too hard on your flesh, you're permitted to leave after we dismiss the service, because we don't want you to leave right now. It would be obvious. So if you love God, you will love your brother also. I can't stand so-and-so. That's the point. In 1 John chapter 2, go to verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you. Which thing is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Isn't that an interesting statement? What did John mean by that? Well, he first of all, before he got to this verse, he said, I'm not going to write a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. And the old commandment is the word which you heard. And he said, from the beginning, is one of our translation. But literally, when he says from the beginning, he was talking about from the beginning that Jesus appeared, not from Genesis. But when he appeared, from that beginning. Well, what beginning? Jesus was the true light which shineth in this world. And here is the commandment. Here is the commandment. The old commandment was that Jesus expressed how much he loved his Father. In other words, the commandment was to reside within the person of Jesus. Because we live through him, his lifestyle, his person. That's what we live through. And so, the first commandment was that Jesus came to introduce God's love, his person. And it was required of it to exist within Jesus. Are you following me? Well, what is the second one that he talks about here? And he calls the second one new. A new commandment. Are you guys with me here this morning? He says, but you have had from the beginning the old commandment, which is the word. But again, a new commandment write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away. It means literally people are being born again. And the true light of what God is being birthed into the hearts of men by the Holy Spirit. And so the new commandment is, and the old commandment was, it was required of him, Jesus, but the new commandment now is shifted over and it's required now in us. That's the second commandment. Whew. This is hard on us, because the church has told us that we are to love God with our whole being, but our neighbor is not required of the same commandment. We can always look for the point that we can grab a hold of so that we have a right not to love them.
Well, then you have to find it in the first commandment. What point are we allowed to dismiss our effort towards God to love Him if it requires my whole heart and my whole soul and my whole mind? Where does that stop? Somebody said, how can you feel that way about that person because of their actions? Because I know 1 John. I have the same conviction in my heart now. I'm building it more and more in me. And my dear wife is helping me do that. How? The same thing that I would do towards my father is the same thing I'd do towards my neighbor. Ouch, that's hard. How many would all believe and agree with me? That's going to take God. Amen. And so we have here these two commandments. The first one, which is called the Old Commandment, it was required of it to exist in Jesus. But the new one, now it has to exist in us. These are the two commandments that he's referring to. There's no difference. So, again, if I give of my inner man, it's because I'm still a slave. If I can't give to my inner man, it's because I'm still a slave to my outer man in some area. But if I know that I have to reckon my outer man as good as dead, then it gives me hope to what I can do with my inner man. Now, turn over to chapter 3 of 1 John here. And let's go a little further here. In chapter 3, look at verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brother, and he who does not love his brother abides in death. Here he pinpoints brother, because in 1 John you'll find that he doesn't indicate sometimes a brother, but here he's indicating a brother. And the book of 1 John literally is the life of God needs to manifest itself into the life of the church. And the reason some could not enter into the life of the church is because they never got to know God. They knew about Him, but that doesn't mean you know Him. They didn't know God. And number two, this is a biggie. First one, they didn't know Him. They knew about Him, but they didn't know Him. And number two, they got under false teachers. False information that was not spawned by the Holy Spirit. Not everything we hear is the Holy Ghost is behind. Because everything that the Holy Ghost is behind, guess what? I hate to tell you this, will grow in you. Because it's God that makes it grow in you. And so, you know, the book of 1 John, what a legacy that the Apostle John left us, because he knew the heart of God more than the other 11 apostles. He knew them. And that's why he lived the longest. He was the last living eyewitness of that life. Matter of fact, that's how he started the book out. He says, I know that life. I walked with it. I heard it. I talked with it. Matter of fact, in the Greek structure there in the first few verses, it literally meant, I observed him so closely I could feel and see his heartbeat in his veins. Real close. And he's saying, what I'm seeing in the church does not match the life that I've walked with and was with those years. Somebody lost it. Well, sure, because of false teachers entering in, people getting away from the Holy Spirit as its teacher and guide, and they got into the glory of ministers, and the life was starting to be lost. And John was moved on God to write a last living epistle of what the life of God does in you and in me that was in him. So in chapter 3, verse 14, He says this is how we know we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death, which means that if you really are abiding in life, your marriage will become better. If you're really, really in life, if you're really living there, then your children will be better. If you're really living in the life, it means that your relationships with people won't die. It means that your relationship with sinners will cause them to thirst after what is in you, not die from you. And I talked with a few of you in here. And what came out of your mouth, I knew you didn't know the book of 1 John. And I made the remark to some of you, and don't take it offensively, because that's one of the things you get rid of, offenses. But I looked at you and told you, no, you don't know 1 John. You know about the book, but you don't know the content in the book. Sometimes we just need to be truthful with people and not let them live as a legend in their own thinking. Now, let's go to another passage. Let's go to chapter 4. Progressing right along here. And let's go to verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God, and here's the kicker, knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Isn't that interesting? Do you know we can know about God, but not know Him? In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. The word live there is zeo. It means how one passes his life here. Now let me ask you something. Which one of the three is expressed in this verse? In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Which one of those three, heart, soul, and mind, is this one referring to? Want me to tell you? Huh? Go back to the three. One is influence. One is what? What was the second one? Huh? Animation, what you saw. And the third one is what the mind is occupied with. You know, the first time you see Jesus, the only thing you can really see is what He animated. Because you don't know the depthness of the perception of the man when you first come to know Him. The only thing that causes you to know Him, to really get to know Him, is what He animates. What He animated. In other words, I have to see something. And by seeing it, it gives me input. You see, people can take a principle in God's Word and call it a principle of righteousness. But if that principle is not in them, then what they're doing is they're merely expressing a principle that has to be shown. But if it's not shown from the person's heart, then it's very hypocritical. And that's where we get into trouble with the sinner in the world. We sit there and we'll judge him for our righteousness, but we're not doing the very thing we judge them with because they find it in us. So the principle he's talking about here, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us. That's talking about the life of his soul on earth. It animated something towards me. If he did not actually appear on planet Earth, then how can he give us an expression of what the life is about? You know something? You could tell anyone that you're a Christian because you love God. But what they need to know is that God's love in you is the same love that you're giving back to them. Ouch. Don't you hate that? Well, I'm going to tell you, when you start seeing this stuff, you can't get away with nothing. My wife asked me to go get a bulb, 36-inch bulb. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going up that store again. Tired of going up there and back, up and back. And she's laboring with her whole heart to fix a meal for us and doing what a good woman would do. I'm copping out. And I made my mind up. By the time I got to my back hallway there in my house, God said, hey, Mr. Lovely Man, why don't you go get me my bulb? When he said, my bulb, that ended it. I went back down the hallway. I didn't want to cop out the suit right away, but I said, I'll go get you your bulb. So I went and got the bulb and changed it. You see, you don't think that way. You don't think of loving your neighbor the same way that you love God. But you know, from God's viewpoint, that's his bulb. Not my wife's, it's his bulb. Why is it his light bulb? Because of her inconvenience of not having enough light. Then God's will is that my wife have that light, and I'm the medium which can bring it. Don't you hate that kind of understanding? No, you shouldn't hate it. My flesh hates it. I wanted to kick the wall. I'm going to tell you something. You talk about giving of yourself. This will do it to you. Let's go on and read. He says, and this is what I wanted to get across to you. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Oh, can we quit? It's 10 to 12. Can we quit? Here we go. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been matured in us. Well, how is his love matured in us? Because you got your neighbor and not him. Because you got your neighbor and not him. Because you've got your neighbor and not him. Who is my neighbor? Well, the scriptures have to give identification to who your neighbor is. But really, technically speaking, the neighbor is mankind on earth. It's whom you live with. And whether you realize it or not, people, you are commanded to live a godly, holy life before the unbeliever as well as the believer. The problem is, our love, if it's not being perfected in us, it's because we have a problem with the neighbor we walk with. Now, here's the bottom line. Your neighbor can have a chip. Have you all figured that out by now? Your neighbor can have chips. But you know what? We need to be careful, because in our fellowship with God, we got to make sure we don't have a log in our eye. That literally means in our eye, what we see with, because the log is the chip with good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over to a log. And you know what? Jesus never said that he approved of the chip. But what he did say is if you get rid of the log, you can help remove the chip. Isn't that great? He didn't say he approved of somebody's chips. He said he disapproves of somebody that has a log in them and can't forgive the chip in others. And you know what this is all predicated on in Matthew chapter? It's all predicated off of Matthew chapter 6, off of the Lord's Prayer. And this is the Lord's Prayer. The first thing is, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know what really angers me? To have to put up with you the way God does. Long suffering. Strong in the grace. I got what you call knuckle grace sometimes. Are you guys catching this?
Pastor, when do you say stop?
Love is not being perfected in you when that's your first point. We're going to cover that. We're going to cover stop. Okay? But right now, let's cover the content of responsibility. Then we'll deal with application. Okay? Now, notice this. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected and brought to maturity. Why? Because we're literally allowing a God that we can't see cultivate Himself in our heart for those whom we can see. Now where else in the Bible does that talk about now? It says, how can you love God whom you can't see and yet can't love the one you do see? We got a problem with that. It means because you don't know how to love the one you can't see. Let's read on. By this, we know that we abide in Him, and He in us. Now, are you ready? Because He has given us of His Spirit. And this is where we get to say, is it referring to the Holy Spirit, or is it referring to the new birth? You don't know which one it is, because the original text doesn't have a capital S or a small S. So you have to determine upon yourself which one it is. How many following what I'm saying? So which spirit do you think he's animating here? I can tell you by the content of the whole book. By His Spirit, which He has given us. Let's go on. And we have seen and testified the Father has sent His Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. And we know, and we have known, and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Wow! It means the day that we do appear with Him, we can have confidence towards Him because the love of God that was in Him was in us while we were here in this world. So what spirit is He talking about there? Well, we read in Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been poured out through the Spirit that is in us. This is in direct reference to the Holy Spirit. Because the content of the word Spirit there not only deals with us having the life and nature of God, which cannot permit us to miss the mark, but also the inward anointing called Holy Spirit that will work in our hearts to correct us when we do err in our way of living with each other. We always con ourselves and give ourselves excuses not to put up with somebody. You have no excuse to put up with the most unlovely. What you have to do is learn how to walk with them for their benefit and for the kingdom's benefit. That's all. But it's going to require your heart, your soul, and mind, all of it. All of it. Let's go on. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made mature in love. We love him because he first loved us. See, if we loved him, it's because he first loved us. But what good is that if you can't turn the love that you've given to him for the one that you rub elbows with? Now, the reason I was so bold about the Holy Spirit, if you will jump to 1 John 5, and we're going to close on this one. It says here in verse 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. This is definitely a quotation many times out of the book of John, and it's directly referring to the Holy Spirit. Now follow me. In verse 7 and verse 8, these two verses, they don't even know how it ended up being translated that way, but they have found some manuscripts that included these in there, but the manuscripts that they found these verses changed in was out of the Dark Ages. So they think these verses were translated this way out of the Nicene Fathers, which you and I don't want to be a part of. It's almost like a form of religion or Catholicism. The Nicene Fathers were religious men that got together and decided on spiritual laws. They were ungodly. And so that's when they figured that these two verses were changed the way that they were changed. And they took an understanding completely out of the contextual setting of 1 John and what he's trying to say here. The whole essence of the book of 1 John is the life that was in God has to be manifested in between you and your neighbor. And that is accomplished for the fullness of our fellowship, for the fullness of our fellowship, koinonia, our fellowship, not our relationship, our fellowship, to be made complete with joy. Isn't that a good thought? That in our fellowship with each other, we can have joy in it. Eek! That's a new concept. You mean to tell me he wrote this book so that our love that we have from here will also be in our fellowship with each other, so that our joy is made complete in our fellowship? Uh-oh, that's repairing marriage stuff. That's bringing our children to a place where they'll never die. That's where our fellowship with brothers and sisters are not divided. Oh my gosh, this is a horrible thought. That everything would work together for the good to those who love God. How horrible. How horrible on the body of your flesh. You know what that means? Something's gotta die. Something's gotta die. Most of us, when we get saved, we take our body and we put it up on the cross, and then when we get up off our knees after we're saved, we'll walk over to the cross and pull our body down. Get off there. Get off there. Jesus hung there, not you. And then you step right back into him. And Jesus saying, don't do that. He's in the graveyard from my viewpoint. He should be dead. We carry that sucker around. With our whole heart, with our whole soul, and with our whole mind. We're walking around with that idiot. And notice what he goes on to say here. Well, let's read it according to the major manuscripts that we have. More earlier than later. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. Do you guys have a hard time believing that? Thank you. For there are three who bear witness. There are three who bear witness. There are three who bear witness. Jump down to verse 8. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in the one. Uh-oh. What happened about all them little words in between there? You know, like the Father and the Word and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. That's not how it was worded. Here's how it was worded. Verse 6, and he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth, for there are three who bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in the one. If we receive the witness of men, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, that he has testified of his Son. And you know what will stop your witness for him more than anything else? It's because you will receive the witness of somebody's mistakes quicker than you will receive how to give yourself to those mistakes. Because love covers! And many of us don't know what it means to cover somebody's mistake. We don't go to them first. We go to somebody we can judge them first, rather than going to them first and settling the issue of where they're missing the mark between them and me, and not between the church. Next or first. You know somebody on the hot seat that's violated? The first thing to come out of their mouth is, why didn't they come to me first? You know what? That's valid. Because you're giving them a right to express the love of God towards them by covering them and not exposing them to somebody else first. Covering them. Because that puts them in a position to know that nobody else knows what you know, where they're missing the mark. And that gives you a position where you can correct the chip, because you don't have the log of judgment in your eye. It's amazing how we think we can judge people, but we have no mistakes of our own. So what does he mean here in these verses when they're not really that way? What is he trying to say? Let me give you a clue. Did you know it says water and blood? What is that referring to? Water and blood? Birth. A woman, when they deliver a child, they got to have that water there. Right? Women, help me here a little bit. Well, then why did he bring it down? The three are in the one. They bear witness of it. Here's what he was saying. So some minister right in front of a whole bunch of men, I felt so sorry for him. He said, see how demonic this Bible is? For they left these scriptures out, and this is how they're wording. And I said, well, why is it so demonic? They remove that God was trying to prove the Trinitarian. The doctrine of Trinity? That's what he was trying to prove? I've known a lot of people who broke fellowship over the oneness of God versus Trinity of God. It's not what he was trying to prove there. You know what he's saying? If you have the witness of men in your life and that's all you can see, how in the world is your love going to grow through their witness? He said what you have to do is your witness has to be the one who manifested in the earth and showed you what that life is like. He is the one that will bear witness with the Holy Spirit, because he was born into this world through, are you ready? What person would know Jesus more than the one who conceived in the womb of Mary to bring him into this realm? He's called Holy Spirit.
That's why moving into the perfecting of the love of God in your heart, why it is so difficult is because many of us are plagued with the witness of men. And the whole book of 1 John is to tell you how that inward anointing in your heart, the Holy Spirit, He will remove darkness from you so you can remove the darkness from other people. If He can do something to you inwardly first, then He can use you to do something for them. Because He has the witness of the love that God is through His Son whom He brought into this world. I'll tell you, thank God for me seeing the soul, the operation of my Jesus in this earth, because it tells me how my Heavenly Father animates Himself from His heavenly position. I don't see Him in the natural, but through the life of Jesus, I can see how He animates Himself, even though He's in heaven. Oh. If this don't challenge you, you need to get the CD until you know it totally. Because I speak with one as having the authority of what this word says. And there is no excuse. And what does it mean, no excuse? The witness of men cannot be your excuse. You know, some Christians have it wrong. Some Christians are dodo brains. They said if it was just me that would receive Him, He would go to the cross and die for me. Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Prideful, to think that God's love would only consist in your narrow little box. That the only requirement for Him to go to the cross was you. Oh, you sweet little thing, you. How you care about yourself. Oh. You know what God does with something like that? It grieves Him. Matter of fact, in one passage it says He throws up or He vomits over. Can't even contain it. Why? That cross was set in position for everyone, sinner, saint. It was not predicated on who would receive Him. It was predicated on who needed Him. I see God's love perverted all the time, especially at funerals. Oh, God needed Him in heaven. That's why He died here. He needed them in heaven. Heaven was minus this little soul. And I don't give a damn what any of you thought of them. Do you know what? When you suffer loss, it touches His heart while you're here. He doesn't kill people because He wants them there. In spite of you wanting Him here. You know what? When I lose a loved one, it grieves me. Why? Because I know Him according to flesh. We have our roots in Him. Isn't that right, Sue? Our roots go deep within them. And when we lose Him, we should grieve. Are you following me? Because they were a part of the emanation of our life. And God would not look over the consideration of you in spite of you and go and take one of your loved ones on home just because He needed him in heaven. You had enough of Him. Now I won. Now He's mine. Do you see from this viewpoint how crazy sometimes it is when we think about the love of God and not the responsibility of the requirement of that love?
Jesus said, the reason that you have come to me and begged and squalled and bawled and wondered why your prayers weren't getting answered is because you didn't know how to ward off the evil day in your lifetime. Because you started out with judgment first, rather than doing what? Operating the kingdom of God in the earth as it is in heaven. That means you better make sure you've got God having the proper judgment in heaven if you're going to carry it on in the earth. Do you understand what I mean? Did you guys get something here today? Well, I know 1 John. I know 1 John. Thank God, God gave me a revelation how to stay away from somebody. But I know 1 John. Stand up, everybody. Is this all right? Is this plain enough? Is this over your heads? It's still over mine. Because I have to put action to it. Oh, we're going to have a good time. To finish off the three areas, the heart, the soul, and mind. Ooh, what a statement. Boy, God knows how to pour it on us. He knows how to pour it on us. Dear Heavenly Father, we're closing the service now. But Father, as we do, Father, if there be anybody out in our audience that has come and has found that they're not of the same spirit we are, they're not born again, born from above. Father, if they've never been born again, we want to lay hands on them and confirm their salvation through the new birth. If they've been born again, but Father, they've been out of fellowship with you. They haven't continued their walk with you in a way that love could be brought to perfection in them so that they could walk with mankind. Father, your perfect love removes the fear that would be in them to give their whole being to you. So that love can be brought to maturity in them. So Father, today, if they want to get back into step with you, that Father, may they come forward and let us lead them back into complete fellowship with you again that they once had. They have the relationship, but not the fellowship. And we want them to have the fellowship to suit the relationship. And then, last but not least, if they haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in that heavenly language, they're depriving their inner man of a way of communicating to you more complete and more accurate things that you can't understand in the natural. And so, Father, may they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as they come forward and we lay hands on them. And with that said, when we dismiss the service, please come forward if you need that. If you need prayer for your physical body, healing for it, feel free to come forward for that as well. And if you're new here for the first time, been visiting, and you want to talk to me, maybe we have a hospitality room in back, feel free to go there. And when I get through here, I'll be right back there to meet with you. So God bless you. Father, I thank you for this service. May your people walk in victory this week in Jesus' name. Amen. You're free to go.